Hi and hello, football fans. A quick word about our pals over there at Wranglers.com. Whether you ride a bike, handsome, you ride a bike, don't you?
I have a bike.
You know how to ride a
yes.
bike, at least. I know that much. Or a Bronco. Have you ever ridden a Bronco, handsome Hank?
Only one of those mechanical ones.
Oh, you have?
Yep.
Ooh, I'd like video of that.
Didn't last long.
And I know that one thing, handsome, being a SoCal native, you love that your skateboard. You're a big skater, dude. Whatever your activity, Wrangler jeans is for you, classic or modern styles, and a range of fits for you, all price points, vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone. Visit Wrangler.com and check out their selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. I happen to have a really handsome tan button down from there that I favor when I don't go dark, and I love
one of your three shirts.
Love the dungarees. Wrangler, denim made for the modern world. And with that being said, let's start the show.
David, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Do you like skating in an empty swimming pool still, or do you go to the,
I want other people.
Reconstructed.
Yeah, I want other parks. People to see what I'm doing.
Oh, is that right?
To see my tricks. See me ollie, mm-hmm. Do the other one.
I love when you ollie.
Yeah, me too.
You're one of the better olliers I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah.
Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we have important business to get to. So let's jump right to it. You heard his voice already. We'll say a proper hello to Handsome Hank in just a moment. But first, one of our favorites around here at NFL Media to bump into in the hallways to address all manner of subjects, whether it's the game of football or, more importantly, the game of life. You watch her on Total Access and have for many moons now. She is one of the stalwarts of NFL Media. It's Lindsay Rhodes. How are you, Lindsay?
Hi, I'm good. I'm feeling very stalwarty.
All right, let's see. Let's see if you can stall some warts here. Yeah. And then also, our resident Miami Dolphins fan all the way from London, England. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
Let's stop that.
I want Lindsay to hear.
Oh, okay.
I respect
this.
You more.
He's handsome, Hank. He's handsome, Hank. He's handsome,
Hank. Hello, handsome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Dave.
Are you? Did you happen to see my triplets rankings that came out?
I did. I listened to the podcast.
Again?
I listened to the show.
We issued them, but your Miami Dolphins came in 32 out of 32.
That's
teams
fine.
For
what I like is they're going to surprise people with their triplets. I genuinely believe Kenyon Drake will be one of the three breakout players of this season.
I do like them running behind that left side of the line with what they've put together there. I still say Laremy Tunsil, without that gas mask on his face a couple of years ago, may well have been the number one overall pick.
He may have been. He also hasn't really done anything since he may have been the number one pick.
Time for a breakout, though, and I've heard some good buzz from them. Remember, Adam Gase took that team to the playoffs 18 months or so ago. It seems like that's distant memory for most people, but there is reason for some optimism, at least in the head coach and the faith that he seems to have in 17 there under center one more year here. Lindsay, I've never asked you this. Who's your favorite pro football team?
I don't have one.
You really don't? You're one of those people?
No, but I promise you I'm not saying that to, like, protect my credibility or something. That's not a journalism with a capital J answer. I just don't. I didn't grow up with a team.
Right.
Yeah,
I grew up here in Southern California. Yeah. The Raiders, the Rams, they were, like, coming and going, and it wasn't something that I latched onto. So I sort of grew up more a college fan, actually, and then just a fan of the game. In general.
I respect it. That's kind of where I am in with the NBA. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy it.
Sorry, I thought you were about to say with the NFL. I don't really like the Steelers. I do talk about them
interest.
A lot, like 90% of the time.
Yeah. But what do you make of that, though? I feel like that is a very 20th century sort of mentality for people who are on TV or, you know, writing about it or whatever, is to pretend that there's no rooting interest.
It's a 20th century. I think it's just since journalism was invented. And I think it's becoming less a thing. I think more and more you're getting away from the whole journalists have to be unbiased.
Yes, right.
And everybody's kind of just diving in, and it's more personality driven and all of that kind of stuff. I think we're getting away from that.
It's fraudulent, in fact, to claim that you have no rooting interest. It's weird. Why would you
unless
not?
You're me.
I like when No. I'm saying I'm with you because as somebody who grew up in a non-NBA city, I didn't vibe naturally anywhere, but I enjoy watching the games nevertheless.
Right. Yeah, I think I definitely have rooting interests. It's just they change.
Based
from
on
year to
the
year and week to week.
And players.
Yeah, I root for people who I like. I root for storylines. I root for what's best for me and the show. You know, it's like there's some of that that inevitably plays out, I think.
So as we sit here in August 2018, what's best for Lindsay Rhodes? And I guess we can extend that to NFL media. What's the best storyline to play itself out here?
It's not what you would think, and I don't know exactly right now what that storyline would be, but a lot of times for me, as somebody who does a day-to-day show, like when Tim Tebow was in the mix, I wanted him not to be in the mix because because he wasn't in the mix in a way where he was making a difference on the field every day. We just had to talk about him.
Right.
So I was like, let's get this resolved so that I don't have to talk about Tim Tebow every day. So you know, not like I was rooting for him to fail, but I was rooting for some resolution, one way or the other.
Like, Sounds like you were kind of rooting for him to fail, Lindsay.
You know what I mean?
Let's get him out of the picture.
I enjoyed the Jaguars come up last year.
You know,
for me, that's easy to latch on to, and I like the fact that we have an opportunity to legitimately talk about the Jaguars on a national TV show. Someone who has a somewhat smaller fan base and wouldn't normally be like you lead the A block and total access with the Jags. I love the fact that they gave us a chance to do that. You know,
it's funny because I say, as a longtime pro sports advocate, I think dynasties are the best. Dynasties are what give you something to latch onto as a fan in a certain period in sports history to be able to point to saying, I saw Michael Jordan's Bulls at the height of their powers. I saw Joe Montana and those Niners with Jerry Rice and Bill Walsh and all that. And it gives you a measuring stick for all that comes after it. I like seeing that. And I worry that without the Patriots, I'm not a Patriots advocate or anything else, but I feel like they have perhaps covered the overall, the parity that all commissioners want to see in their league to have as many fan bases as possible engaged. I think the Patriots have obscured the fact that underneath that, those teams that rise and fall season after season, I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing for longtime sports fans.
But you say you like those teams, but you do that with a measure of removal from that time. In the moment, a dynasty that's that dominant for that long is kind of irritating. I agree with you. It's nice to be able to say 10, 15 years later, that was cool. I got to witness that. But at that moment, being a fan of 31 other teams is a bit like, especially being a fan of a team in their division. It's like, let's move this along
and
a little bit.
And let's look at, so if we're in the AFC and NFC championship round, right? And we're deciding who's going to go to the Super Bowl. The selfish rooting interest part of me that doesn't really like, I don't care one way or the other about the Patriots. Once they get there, if they get to the Super Bowl, then I am just as invested or not invested in them winning or losing the game. I don't care. But in that AFC championship game, there's a part of me that's thinking, boy, it would be nice to spend 2.5 weeks talking about storylines that we haven't played out.
Exactly.
Like if I have to have any more conversations about Tom Brady or Bill Belichick's legacy, I mean, come on.
I hear you.
Like, we've established them. So it's like, so to then have that conversation again, like it's a fresh conversation, like what he just did in these last 16 games, how does that change this legacy? And if he wins this game or if he loses this game, boy, you know, what kind of difference maker is that going to be? Like, it's just, okay, he's the best of all time. Move on. What's next? You know? And we kind of get stuck on some of those storylines. So for me,
I guess it would be like Browns Lions for you then, in other words.
Browns are super exciting right now, and I don't
it's
know
August.
If that's just
it's August,
100% yes, but there is an element of a different vibe coming out of there. Would you not agree? Like, it's not just look at that roster, and if you don't put the Browns at the top of the page and you just compare their rosters, their projected starters on offense and defense, and you covered up the team name and you didn't know, and you put that next to like the Seahawks right now, that might be a bad example because I know people are thinking that the Seahawks aren't going to do big things this year, but
I think that the Browns have a real shot at being better than the Seahawks do in final record for the season.
Do you think the Browns are that team that the rest, you know, regardless of your primary rooting interest, there's normally one team that everyone, if it happened, everyone would get behind and say, yes, I want to support this. So the example I think we talked about before was the year that the Saints were good, suddenly post-Katrina, and then whatever it was 2 years later when they won the Super Bowl, everyone could put, unless you were a fan, I guess, of teams that were playing them on that day, you're like, yeah, I want to see that team do well. I would say that the Browns are probably one of those teams that everyone could get behind. The whole nation could get behind, with the exception of you as a Steelers fan, let's say. But people would say, yeah, I like seeing this. This is a
Cubs
cool
in
thing.
The World Series. Right? Like, oh, that fan base has been waiting so long and they've been so tortured and this is kind of cool for them.
One,
you can at least appreciate that.
The one that no one's talking about this year and people are pointing at the Browns, and it's just there's no historical evidence that a team can go from zero wins to double digits in one season, so that probably rules them out of a postseason slot. But you know what? Yeah, it'll be fun if they get good. And I think the fascinating storyline there is what's going to be with Tyrod Taylor. Are they really going to sit down a competent a quarterback who is really right there among the probably the upper half of NFL quarterbacks? Are they really going to sit him down and put the kid in there? That's going to be a fun storyline. But it's the Detroit Lions that people are not talking about that I think they have a chance to sneak by in a rugged division. Yes, with the Packers and the Vikings presumably rising back up. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lions finish. I don't think they're going to get by Rodgers and company, but I could see them sliding into the second spot there.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it that they've done in this offseason that gives you that hope?
I think Stafford has sort of – there was a narrative attached to him that was sort of like he's Jay Cutler Jr., the big arm and the swagger.
Less surly, though.
Yeah, right. But I buy him as one of the six or seven best quarterbacks in the NFL. And despite what we saw last year in the Final Four with Carson Wentz and Case Keenum and the likes of those guys battling it out for Super Bowl slots, I still think that having a high-end quarterback will impact how far you can go. And I do like the pass catchers as a group there. I mean, the big question is, can they get to the QB? That's the one specific issue that I have with the line, but I think they're going to be able to run the ball. This is the first time Matt Stafford's going to have a running game in forever. I'm intrigued by this team. Put a pin
that
in.
Isn't under the radar,
I know,
by the way.
No one talks about it.
Because
them.
The team we're talking about in the NFC North is the come up is the Bears.
I know, because as I declared a couple of weeks ago, Lindsay, this is the thing you can follow. When everybody's in on something, it's a year away.
Yeah.
Everybody was in on the Jags in 2016. That was a year too soon. Right. I said that was premature. I announced it. Did I not, MVP?
You did.
I also announced something else, didn't I? I announced some teams that are not going to the playoffs in 2018. Mm-hmm. And bad news, Chicago Bears. No playoffs for you. Also, New York Giants. A lot of buzz out there about you. Here's reality. No playoffs for you. Seahawks.
Come on.
No playoffs for you. Browns? No playoffs for you. Is there another one? Oh, yes. One more. Go ahead. Indianapolis for you.
What?
That didn't work out.
Sean O'Hara sit you? I mean, didn't we leave after
we
Sean was in here and you even you were like, maybe I was a little early on the Giants.
I did, but I have to.
But you
stand,
can't back down.
I have to stick to my guns here,
right.
And
that they're not going to the playoffs.
That they're not going to go to the playoffs. I think the Cowboys are going to be good. I think America's team, the team that from where I sat a year ago was the one to get behind, was the Philadelphia Eagles. I loved their deeds off the field as well as on, and that was the team for the U.S. of A. to rally around in contentious times. I think that team. I don't know how they just disappear unless Jay Ajayi can't get it done. That's the practical concern, I guess. Is he?
But they got a bunch of running backs.
I don't know how they suddenly fall off a cliff here, playing a first place schedule, Super Bowl hangover. I don't know those kind of narratives that you could pick up on. Otherwise, I think they've only added to their greatest position of strength with Michael Bennett and Haloti Ngata now already, along with what is a dominant defensive front. So I think that they're going to be off.
I think it's more that you're more in on the Cowboys than the Giants than that you think that the Eagles will go.
I think what spooks me a little bit, and O'Hara started pointing at it, when you really start to look at it, if the offensive line is halfway competent, you have Saquon Barkley, and we're making assumptions of how good he's going to be. And then you talk about Odell Beckham, who wins games for a team as a wide receiver, wins games for that team, plus Sterling Shepard, plus Evan Engram, yeah. I get a little spooked when I start to go through it like that. Yeah. But then again, we did that a year ago when they had Brandon Marshall and this is the greatest collection of pass catchers the world's ever seen. They were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just think it's hard. It's on paper and it's August. But if you put the Cowboys starters on offense, there's a question mark at wide receiver. There's a question mark at tight end. There's Ezekiel Elliott in the background, which is great. You've got Dak, who I have questions about this year without those other weapons. So I think it's easier to project what the Giants might do than the Cowboys.
But
I get that you're feeling it.
Jason Garrett, though, of course, isn't week to week. He's season to season. It's a roller coaster ride, and things are pointing up for Garrett because he goes one good season as the head coach, one bad season. This means that this season should be good for
him. So it's going to be good.
I like the defense. I don't like the defense. It's going to be better than what it was last year if they're anything close to healthy. Lindsay, what is to you – as somebody who surely, if I'm hearing it, someone with your star power is hearing it times 10, what fan base do you think has the biggest chip on its shoulder?
Ooh.
Who do you hear the most noise? Why don't you ever talk about us?
That's a good question. Who thinks we hate them now?
You hate the New York. I was accused of having New York bias. That one's regular. The Seahawks fans say I hate them. The Bengals fans say I hate them. I don't hate them. They're a punchline, but they're football demons. I don't hate them. I laugh at the Bengals.
That's the same.
I
understand why people might interpret that as hate.
It's not hate.
I'm laughing at you. I don't hate you. Yeah, that doesn't make them
they
feel better.
Me. They amuse me like clowns. The Bengals
exactly.
do. I hate no team really, but Falcons fans. If you know what I think the formula is, you can't be a major powerhouse brand like the Cowboys, Raiders, and Steelers. I think those fan bases are immune to that. I mean, there's some like you're down on us because.
Although I've gotten it from the Raiders in
really?
The past, yeah, less so lately. But there was like a year or two there where there were a lot of Raiders fans who thought that I hated them for some reason.
Why do you hate us?
I mean, not in those exact words.
But you're not giving us enough attention.
Well, yeah, and if there's a negative story or if there's a negative conversation that's taking place about the team, it's because you hate them. It's not about the fact that that's actually happening. And maybe you don't even know, but maybe I'm a huge fan and I'm that angry fan. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's what always gets me about why do they assume? Because I find that the greatest levels of anger toward a team comes from the fan
fans.
Base.
Exactly.
But someone that they don't perceive as one of their own can't say the exact same things that they're saying.
Yep. You're right.
I think, right. Well, of course, you're allowed to insult your team. It's the same thing as your family. I can make jokes about family members, but shame the devil. You don't get to come in from the outside and start making the same jokes to me, I think it's teams that are starting to feel some success for the first time. And their fan base wants more attention paid to it. And they're not comfortable with their success. Jags fans, I'm looking at you over the last year or two. Falcons fans over the last 5 years, as you have sort of established yourself as a pretty consistent team in the NFL. People not comfortable. They don't know how to deal with the success just yet. MVP, one more team in honor of Lindsay Rhodes being here. I want to complete the teams, the half dozen teams that are not going to go to the playoffs. This one's nice and easy. This is probably the worst roster in all the NFL. Are you ready? Hit it. No playoff for you! Buffalo Bills. That is a bad roster. That is not going to be good.
Their offense is going to be a disaster.
They have no offensive line.
They have no receivers. They've got
three
McCoy, quarterbacks,
maybe.
Which is no
who
quarterback.
Are their receivers?
Kelvin Benjamin's their number one. He's good. That's a decent place to start. But they just have no offensive line, question marks at quarterback. They have like three, I don't know. I think Josh Allen, I don't know. Well, let's wait and see. I don't want to damn the kid too soon here. But, hey, Adam Schefter, did you see that tweet that he put out on Thursday morning?
No, what is it?
He said that Eric Decker, new to the New England Patriots, along with Tom Brady, the greatest or the most handsome duo, thrower to pass catcher in history. And when I saw it, I thought, you know what? That's airtight. He might be right about that. How
did he get into your Twitter drafts? Like, how did he tweet that and not you?
Right.
I know.
Feels like something you should have got to first. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Maybe we should revisit before the season starts my quarterback groups. We've anointed, I think it was, I don't remember where we settled. Was it the Chicago Bears with Mike Tomczak, Jim Harbaugh, and what was that era there? We had to update it. That's why we did it. It was Tom Brady and Garoppolo.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that.
Yeah, that was your
Tomczak
number one of all.
Was a good-looking guy. Don't get me wrong, but
Tomczak was a handsome.
He was. I like Tomczak.
I volunteer Cam Newton to Greg Olsen. How say you
as an that? I would say Brady to Amendola beats out Brady to Decker.
Oh, mm-hmm. Come on! You ever met Eric Decker? It's hard to keep. It's hard to compose.
He's dreaming.
A thought. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, okay. The college one I would come up with is Lynette to Bush.
It's a pretty good one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Lindsay Rhodes.
It's hard to go against the Brady to Decker. I'm not hearing anywhere I'm like, yeah, that beats that. But my thing is that I think handsome is a very specific taste thing. Like, those are two pretty boy handsomes. I don't know that that's my thing.
When you're talking about the gridiron and field generals and such, you want someone rugged, you know?
Right.
I like the kind of handsome where there's a little quirky with the handsome. Like, they don't just jump off the page, walk in, and you go, oh, yeah, that guy's super handsome. Mm. It's more like you look at them again and you go, oh, that guy's really handsome. But it's not you don't get the feeling that they've walked through their life with everyone telling them how handsome they are.
Yeah.
Is this an awkward conversation to have next to someone who you literally call handsome?
Well, that's why I like to bring it up to him. He's, you know, he knows of what he speaks. He's like Ted.
The arbiter on all things handsome?
Well, I don't know, though, because in the same way Ted Williams couldn't tell other baseball players how to hit the ball because it was so intuitive to him, even at the highest level. Just do what I do. Like, well, you can't – if you're too good – maybe that is his undoing, Handsome Hank's undoing.
Dave,
well.
You were the first and only person to have ever called me handsome, so I appreciate
it.
Oh,
okay.
I tell you, how about for Lindsay's one, Alex Smith and Travis Kelce. Those are two slow burn. That's rugged, slow burn. Like, oh, yeah, those guys are handsome.
You know what, though? It's hard for me to take personality completely out of the handsome equation because, for me, that factors into the whole thing. I know that handsome is just a physical, like, I'm judging your presence, but it's hard for me to – the fact that he did the reality show kind of ruins Travis Kelce for me. Like, there's a cheese factor that now goes along with that handsome that
I
can't get behind.
Did you watch any of it? I didn't watch any of it.
No.
No, maybe he was really good on that.
Yeah,
he
might have been like, this is lame the whole time.
But he's
handsome, though?
Kelce. Yeah, I think he's handsome.
Is he? He's somebody who I'm immune to. You know?
I think your initial instinct of Greg Olsen is a good one.
Olsen. That was my instinct. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm tuned in some places. Others, I am not. For instance, as we've discussed here on the show before, David Carr... I would walk right by him. I would never know. Would never know that he's considered handsome.
Come on.
There are certain guys I just I wouldn't know that they're handsome until people speak up and say, oh, yes, oh, please. You know who's another one? Pittsburgh's own Jason Taylor. That's another one who, when he shows up around here, the Hall of Famer. Oh, he's so handsome.
That is pretty handsome.
He's pretty handsome.
No idea. Yep. For me, Patrick Claibon at the anchor desk. That to me is as good as we can do around these parts. And you, Handsome Hank.
Okay. All right. I'm glad we got this all resolved.
I want to talk about.
So maybe if I throw a pass to Patrick Claibon, could we make that happen?
Before we get to the main event here,
just
I want to talk to two people. Can you throw a pass to Patrick Claibon?
Yeah, I will.
You know, it was a pretty good one. Now that you say that, you know, who's very handsome in person is Antonio Brown, and Dave Damashek just completed a pass.
I saw that
in a hotel
Congratulations.
Suite about a week or two ago. That's
made a pass at him in a hotel suite.
Something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened there.
Right.
The wine was flowing. I don't remember what happened. MVP and spaghetti. That has to make the list, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. By the way, make sure you check out on Twitter, ASAMP. Eddie Spaghetti there just seems like a regular old fellow there, but at Edward L. Murphy, is that it?
Yeah, still.
On Twitter?
Yeah, I haven't changed it yet.
He's kibitzing. He's interviewing genuine A-listers like, what's his name? Mark Wahlberg.
genuine A-lister. What's his name? Mark Wahlberg.
I couldn't think of his name.
Mark Wahlberg, Ronda Rousey, and then today.
All right, that's enough.
Lauren Cohen.
Okay, enough. It's not your show.
but quickly, another a little bit of news from behind the glass there. Emma VP just celebrated one of her birthdays. And happy birthday.
One
to
of
you.
Her birthdays.
Well, I was going to go into the age, and then I remembered the age-old creed, don't mention people's age, but she's callow still.
I'm 25.
25 years of age.
Yep.
Quarter century.
Congrats,
on the big blue marble.
Thank you so much.
You can rent a car.
Yep.
That's exciting. You should go out and do that today.
I will.
Any words of wisdom for the young people out there making their way up?
I'm still young.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
I want to talk about this. You know what, Let's talk about this here then. Let's talk about what we talked with Marty Bennett. By the way, I encourage you, Nate Demand, if there's an interview you're going to go back and check out from the last couple of weeks, our 20 or 30 minutes with the Black Unicorn, just sublime. You know, all manner of subjects. We talked football. He had great anecdotes, great reminiscences about Bill Belichick and Eli Manning and David Carr and so on, and how he regarded himself in pro football system and moving from team to team. But we also dug in on who would win in a fight between a vampire and a witch. Any thoughts Lindsay?
A vampire and a witch. I know you guys were very impassioned about this. I think that I was behind his witch argument.
Yeah, me too. I don't like because doesn't a vampire have to bite you?
Well, but he's charming though. And a witch, you don't think that that's
no one's charming enough that I'm going to let them bite me.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're, you know,
that just told us a lot about what's happening. Okay.
What
I thought was interesting about Marty though, like your spirit animal interview. You teed up something about like what women do when they walk by you, and it was clearly a thing that you were gonna answer the question, and instead he took it and went in a cauliflower direction.
Yes.
I was like, that is the only time you're gonna tee up that type of question to somebody and they're gonna take it.
Yeah, we went deep on a lot of issues, including Medusa. We went a little mythological as well. But now let's go with 21st century mythology, aka animated features produced by Disney, Pixar, and some of the odd messaging that we get there. By the way, almost every one of them involves some super moving scene early on in the picture that really you find yourself in probably as a grown human being getting misty about. It's a little weird.
Nothing worse than Up.
But Up is overrated though.
Because that moment happens and then it's not Up. After that, it's mostly down.
There's no more emotionally moving scene in any movie in the 21st century, I dare say, than that 3-minute montage of two cartoon people having a relationship together.
Getting older.
Yes. So, Lindsay Rhodes, I mentioned this to you, and you had some strong thoughts about it. I mentioned to you that Marty Bennett and I park our cars in the same garage, that Frozen is, in fact, I mean, what's held up is probably the gold standard of 21st century animated movies.
Right.
Is in fact wildly overrated and perhaps even a negative message to send out to young girls out there.
Yeah, that's the part that I latched onto. I don't know about the overrated or whatever. The music is certainly seems to be catchy. But the negative message to young girls I disagree with, because you said the stuff about the parents and whatever, and the fact that Anna is – you know, doing whatever she can do to get with some dude. But in the end, the fact that they turn that whole one true love trope on its head and you're not expecting it, and that the payoff is that your one true love could be your sister, that is what could save you, that it doesn't have to be the guy, I thought was brilliant and caught me completely off guard at the end of that movie, and I was totally crying.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely. I thought it was a very, like, that is an empowering Disney message.
Do you have siblings?
Right now. But that's not a sister, but it's just, I like that that's a female empowering message. Like, it's like, so she's been told and she's kind of the mind that she needs this guy, and then the guy lets her down, and even she finds a nice guy, and we assume that something's going to happen with Kristoff down the road, although that's never really paid off, but that doesn't matter, because what they needed was to acknowledge their love for one another, and that was enough to save her.
I like this a lot, Lindsay.
Lindsay has, I should say, has two young children, one of whom is a little girl, and Handsome, you have two boys and one little girl.
Yep, and we all love to watch Frozen together, but it's not my favorite one. I've always wanted to dig in more on the guy who runs the sauna. Ooh-hoo, big summer blowout. I want to know more about that guy and his backstory.
A little spin-off.
There's probably two or three characters I'm more interested than Anna. I also want to know why Anna is not called Anna, since that's right. There's no real reason ever for that. But I think generally it's a little overrated.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Well, by the way, you know, what Lindsay is saying is I have already established a great point, rising above, but also a bad message for parents who are undoubtedly watching the movie with their little kids. So the reaction is one of your children has some outsized distinct talent, and the reaction to that should be sequester them away, lock them away.
But isn't the subtle message to those parents, that's not what you should do,
right?
Because they had to overcome that. Learn how to figure out that the things that other people told her were bad were in fact her strengths and she should lean into them.
Right. The message that you should have taken away.
You're making, right? You know what? You're really...
Lock up your children.
You are legitimately turning me around on this.
Okay.
They're garbage parents, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Well, no, that's not okay. You need an antagonist,
right,
is the point. You need somebody to create a hurdle for someone to overcome for the message of overcoming the hurdle
paid
off.
Think about that. That's a pretty dark direction that Disney is going to indicate to society you might have bad parents. So what? And you're supposed to pick up on that. By the way, they get taken out by the sea early on, the parents. Mm-hmm. From the gods above. You're bad parents. We're going to wash you away and see where this goes. Emma VP, you fancy yourself a writer, and we've made you the head writer.
Of course.
As a result. Because of your deeds, not because you believe that. But where do you come down on this issue?
I agree with Lindsay.
Do you?
Uh-huh, 100%.
You know what? I like this a great deal. You know what? I'm going to retract. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And in this case, thank you to Lindsay Rhodes with a little assist here from Handsome Hank and Emma VP. I was wrong.
There you go.
That is good. Well done. They outsmarted me, those Disney people.
The two that I love from a feminist standpoint, the female empowering movies, are the Judy Hopps in Zootopia, like a chick who just wants a job, right? Like I can relate to that. Like the job that everybody tells her she can't do and then she just wants to do and there's no love interest in that. And then Moana, who just wants to get something done,
right,
and doesn't have a love interest at all. It's just, I need to get this done and
I'm
going to do it. I'm going to take it upon myself. Yep. And yeah, those are strong ones. I'm very anti the Disney princess thing. So I'm struggling with this whole... Like, I have my baby girl is a baby girl, right? She's 14 months old, so she hasn't made any decisions of her own.
It's right on the cusp.
But I am like, there is no Cinderella. There is no, like, I just can't embrace it. Because it just feels like you read those books now and the messages all feel so tired.
That the finish
and,
line
like,
is
yeah. exactly
a man.
The opposite.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, Disney's definitely moved away from
totally.
That now completely. Like they're not so much. You don't hear too much about Snow White.
But
and Cinderella
they have a whole Disney
days.
Princess line too. Like they've embraced. They've turned people who aren't princesses into princesses, so they could market them as princesses. Like I just the whole princess thing. I don't totally get. I'm not a princess girl. I'm not the girl who like wants to grow up to be that. It's like, you know. I don't know why that's the be all end all. That when you're a little girl, you want to be that.
Mulan is great for female empowerment. But ironic though, because of course she pretends to be a man to show that she is as strong as a man. So that's a great one. I like Merida in Brave, a little scene one. You
don't like
that one?
I don't like her because, and I get where you're coming from, and there's clearly like. And it's great that there's a mother-daughter storyline, that the storyline is that, though it wasn't marketed as that. I don't know why, like, that the mother-daughter relationship doesn't sell, but she's just a brat to her mom. And I have a problem with that because you don't have to, in order to be a strong, empowered woman who doesn't want to be in an arranged marriage, that doesn't mean that you need to be a brat to your mom every step of the way. Like, the mom, I don't remember the scene exactly, but I feel like the mom is coming to her and sort of apologizing and saying, like, hey, let's figure this out. And then she's like, okay, mom, but eat this blueberry pie that's going to make you a bear. And then the rest of the movie until the very end, her whole thing is, it's not my fault, which I get that might be a realistic interpretation of how children are with their parents. But I just, I found her off-putting in that way. Like, I embrace the whole, like, girl, you say no to those arranged marriage suitors. Like, I'm all for that part
of
it.
That, yeah, that's what jumps out.
But her attitude the entire way and her just self-absorption kind of, I didn't like it.
My favorite Disney movie is The Jungle Book, and the girl at the end who is never named. She comes from the village, but she manages to tempt Mowgli, who has a series of friends in the jungle who he sings and dances with and has a wonderful time.
By the way, that's your gold standard of songs.
Yes, I mean, it's not even close. But she manages to say, leave behind the singing and dancing monkeys. You don't want to spend more time with Baloo, even though he can get you all the fruits that you could possibly want. I get that there's a tiger that's causing you issues. Like, immediately, she tempts him out of the jungle and he's back to the village to find out more about her.
All right. I mean, listen, Incredibles 1. Oh, by the way,
Incredibles 2.
With Elastigirl as the primary
character.
Elastigirl,
I mean, she's the star.
But Incredibles 1 is my favorite of all, and then Book of Life is very good.
That's another one with
some good music to it. But I did not know that when we sat down here to begin in Studio 66 that the person learning would be Dave Damashek.
It rarely happens at your age.
I mean, I don't know what that's even supposed to mean. So I guess it means that they're bad parents, but at least the frozen parents are not being celebrated. And yes, that means that I do have to give a late summer's mention to the worst parents who are celebrated, or at least parent in animated or kids friendly programming ever. You know who it is, right, Handsome?
Who is it? Is it Santa?
It's Donner and Santa, Lindsay Rhodes. Rudolph gets born and in the cave. He gets born in the cave a moment before, and then Donner, his father, comes in and is immediately ashamed. By his only child, he gets his boy. He's gonna take over the family business, flying the sled around. He sees that red nose. That's all he cares about. He's ashamed. Oh, gotta put dirt on that. Can't let Santa see that thing. And then he puts dirt on his own baby's face. Because heaven forbid Santa, curmudgeonly Santa, would see this. Then Santa, sure enough, he comes in and the dirt doesn't hold and the red nose comes out. Santa, this creepy old boss man, he starts belly aching at the baby as well. Oh, you're never going to fly on my team with that nose, kid. And then right off of that, he just jumps into a song about, I am old Kris Kringle, I'm the king of ding-a-ling. Like, well, the baby doesn't care. You just insult it. And the mom is in no position to stand up because apparently Donner's a jerk of a guy. We don't know what happens in that house, but it's not good. I just don't understand why at the end of it, with all that as the prelude and the torment emotionally and otherwise that Rudolph gets, not just from his peer group, but from the boss, from his father and from the boss, Santa. When Santa's like, I need you to fly my sleigh tonight. He's like, hey, old man, screw. I don't know why he doesn't say that. You know?
It's a good point.
Too bad. You know what? You should have been nicer when you had a chance. You know
very much
saying?
Like the frozen parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the storyline is the same.
The sea already took them, though. That's the difference.
The sea takes
them, and they go on to happiness. Anna and Elsa do. Yeah, it's how many people have had to go back and say, Anna, not Anna. You know. Hey, Lindsay Rhodes, what a pleasure to see you. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
this has been fun. My debut.
Is this your first time ever on the DDFP?
Is that right?
Yes.
I assumed you'd been here before.
I felt like, because it's hard to, when people, you know, with the podcasts out there around the NFL, you have been a longtime visitor of that show. So I feel like, you know, I don't want to go back to what we were just talking about over the last 10 minutes here, but I, you know, not because of your gender, but it feels like people, you know, Handsome Hank, same thing. I better not see you on the Move the Sticks podcast. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You understand?
That would never happen.
DJ would
never invite me. Sully wouldn't even let me.
I feel like he's been challenged now, but.
Yeah. Lindsay, I think you are for real. In a business that has been tough in the last few years, people are finally starting to acknowledge, hey, you know what? women can do this job. You've been doing it now for a little while and are a yardstick to be measured by, for not just for women in the business, but for people in the business, of
Thanks,
which
Dave.
I count myself. True? Was that an awkward compliment, handsome? That
was very awkward. Yeah, it was a little bit.
I was trying to say something nice to round up to summarize what we just talked about for 10 minutes. You know?
Yeah. I think the good news is MVP, help me write you something better.
That wasn't very good.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, I didn't know where you're going with it. It was like starting to get insulting, but you tried to be
How did it get insulting? What part got insulting?
She's just great. Look at her.
I don't think it was as bad as the Open when Dave called Lindsay a stalwart. I understand.
A steady, powerful force, right? Well, MLVP,
let it go.
I'd like you
let it go.
No, we can't let Lindsay go yet because we have to make this right. MLVP, you're the writer. Go ahead.
Lindsay, you're a star. Thanks for joining us.
I think it deserves more than that.
I get where you were going. He wanted to bring the whole last 10 or 15 minutes together in a thing.
I get it.
But he just failed. So maybe Emma?
I don't think we need to do that.
Okay.
You know?
Why?
Now
you feel like that's
silly.
Patronizing?
Yeah.
It's not. Did you feel I was patronizing you, Lindsay? Be honest.
No.
You won't hurt my feelings.
We're good. I got what you were doing.
Yeah.
I am a host. I get the whole trying to segue smoothly from topic to topic.
But it wasn't empty. It wasn't that empty. It was sincere.
Yes.
I find it admirable.
Thank you.
You find yourself admirable.
No, my efforts? Yes. I find them woeful. More so because MVP is, I can feel her eyes tisking.
She's definitely going to cut this whole bit out of the show.
Are you
going to
cut this out, MVP?
No, I'm going to keep it so everyone knows.
Do you see, though? This is why I'm such an awkward soul, handsome. You know, even when I try to say something nice, I can't really do it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say something?
You talk about it afterwards.
I know.
Being awkward.
Yeah, I know.
Has he told you how good he is at picking out dresses?
His whole thing is he's very good at picking out menu items, but I've never heard the dresses.
This comes up in makeup also.
Right.
He says he's very good at identifying wardrobe.
I'm undefeated even.
Really?
I'm undefeated at this.
This happens in this building. You pick out.
No.
At home.
For a lady love, I'll pick out a dress.
You buy them one or you say, here's one that you already own that you should wear?
I'd like to see you in this. I pick out lovely dresses and people respond that this is an actual, not a nice thought. This is, wow, I love this.
No, but sorry, from their own wardrobe or you will go into a store?
Is it like Pretty Woman?
It's like Richard Gere and you're just like, here, get these.
No. I go to a store and I pick out a lovely dress.
Right.
And people say it's so sweet.
You pay for dresses?
What do you mean? Yes. I don't do it for strangers.
Okay. I don't know. This wasn't very clear.
I pick out
When did
gifts.
This last happen? In the last
ago.
Decade.
A month ago.
A month ago.
There you go. See?
I bought my girlfriend starting a new job. I said, here's a nice dress.
Right.
And it was work friendly.
Uh-huh.
You know what? As a matter of fact, this brings it all full circle. Lindsay Rhodes, I said, wow, that is some nice dress that you have, and I can't remember who made it. And I said, where did that come from? And you told me. So I went to the store to get it. That dress was not available, and instead I got another one, which she loved. That's true. That's a true story.
Well, you really did bring it full circle, Dave. Well done.
All right, I feel embarrassed. I'm getting the shame sweats now. Story of my life. Eddie Spaghetti, do you have anything? How do you say something nice to someone?
I got you. I sympathize because I'm the same way. I want to try to be nice, overly nice to people, and then I'm trying to issue a sincere compliment. Not saying now. I'm saying in general, and I offer a compliment, which is people think it's weird coming from me, and then everyone laughs at me, and then it's well, why did I even bother in the first place? And that's unfair. They're doing that to you.
Thank you, Eddie
Spaghetti.
How did you wrap it up with Mark Wahlberg the other day?
He said, thank you, Ed Murphy. And he told me that he's been interviewed for 20 years, and I'm the only name he'll remember because my name's Eddie Murphy. So it was very nice. He's my friend now. I consider him a friend. Good friend.
Wow. And when you run into him later.
He'll remember me.
He'll remember
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, look, it's Eddie Murphy.
We had a nice laugh off camera. Shook the hand, talked a bit. Yeah, it was swell. So
well, that's good.
I mean,
and it happened in the 60s, too. Because it was swell.
He's been around me a little bit too.
Right?
Yeah, you too, I swear.
Yeah.
I was just trying to say that it's admirable in a rugged business like this.
We got it. Lindsay Rhodes...
As, you know.
Don't do it again. That's not going to make it's not going to be goodbye. Better second time.
All right, just you know what? Maybe both of you should go. You know what? Maybe Lindsay Rhodes should take out the rubbish with her. You know what I'm saying? Hansel?
I do. I understand what you're saying. Fine, I'll leave.
Please stay.
Okay.
All right. We're just going.
Are you guys continuing? Am I just?
We're just going to wrap the show up now. But now we have to spend an extra 5 minutes on what just happened here and my disgrace.
No.
No?
Nope.
All right. No,
it's all good. There's no disgrace.
No disgrace, Dave.
Everybody's happy.
All right. Do you want to issue a playoff a team that's not going to the playoffs so you can get a little social media feedback from
it? I'm going to just go ahead and let you. This seems to be your wheelhouse. I don't want to step on any toes. It's your show.
Bengals? Think they're going to the playoffs?
No.
I do.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's a dark horse team. No one's that is genuinely a team no one's talking about that could go to the playoffs.
That's the truth.
Well, okay. That's one of your teams nobody's talking about.
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, how long have we gone here, MVP? Long enough?
Long, 45 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my heavens. I didn't realize. Again, I would have thought we'd been talking for about 20 minutes now.
Yep.
I had no idea. See, that's why you can't just point a camera at me, Lindsay, because I have no idea what time it is and how quickly we need to get out. This is what podcasts allow. Blowhards like me to just flap their gums until they have nothing left to say.
I love it.
All right. You know what? Then let's do wrap it up here. For Lindsay Rhodes, make sure you check her out on Total Access. Eddie Spaghetti. Ed L. Murphy. Or Edward L. Murphy. Why don't you change that dumb Twitter handle?
Every week, every show you bring it up, I have tried. There's no available names. I've tried them all.
Do that for him. MVP. Can we say the big news, MVP?
Sure.
In honor of your birthday, be on the lookout for the broadcast. It is going big time. It is now going
to be. It doesn't exist.
It is. It's going to be a podcast available on Podcast One. This is true. Emma VP and Erica Tamposi, they did it, everybody, with the support of your videos. Make sure you track it down. What is it? It's at the broadcast.
The broadcast IRL.
The broadcast IRL, and also give the MVP and Erica Tamposi follows because they're always putting out their funny videos. And, of course, for Handsome Hank, who endlessly will support whoever the guest is to embarrass me, to make me look bad, but to ingratiate himself to whoever our guest is.
I was with you. You and I were in lockstep for, like, the whole way through until that awful thing you did at the end.
Well, apologies again for that, but we'll talk to you at the start of next week. After you get to watch some pro football action. I know. How about that? Preseason football.
Yeah.
It's a lie for your eyes, though. That's the thing. It's too seductive. I try not to watch too much because it seduces you into thinking, that guy's going to be a star. Like, yeah, he's playing against a guy who's going to be working at who's going to be making fries in 2 weeks from now. So don't get too excited about that. All right, one more time on the closing music, and then that's got
to
be it.
They've tried to play you off like 4 times.
I won't do it. All right, thank you for helping me understand Frozen a little bit better. And like I say, back to hot pro football talk at the start of next week. Until then, for everybody mentioned and everybody beyond, it's been a thin slice of heaven. I am dumb.